Good morning. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's coming up on 10 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Wednesday, July the 25th. Newsflash. Senator Hillary Clinton has a cleavage, and you saw it if you watched C-SPAN 2 last Wednesday. You also saw it in a huge article in the Washington Post, and it's all over the internet now and in other newspapers. I printed off a list of dozens of articles and blogs commenting on the cleavage, the coverage of the cleavage. Did she wear this outfit to prove she's feminine, to soften her image? Was it appropriate for her to display a cleavage on the Senate floor? Did she make a fashion mistake, or did she make a calculated decision? Some say, who cares? Well, we found a guest who wrote a column about the cleavage on the Huffington Post entitled Hillary and the Fashion Police, who says every woman who makes a bid for power in this society comes against the fashion police, and it's Hillary's turn again. And she wonders why we don't see headlines like Harry Reid unbuttons top button, feels secure with himself. Why don't we see headlines like that? But why do we see a big splash over Nancy Pelosi's clothes or Katie Couric's legs or Hillary Clinton's cleavage? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. Or talk at WPR.org. Talk at WPR.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. Do we treat women unfairly? Do we act like the fashion police for women and give men a pass? Our guest is Alex Leo, associate editor of 23-6, a news and humor venture by Arianna Huffington and Barry Diller. She is a columnist for the Huffington Post, and her most recent column, Hillary and the Fashion Police. And Alex Leo joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
And just of interest to our listeners who hear your dad on this program quite a bit, you are the daughter of John Leo.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and so you share a profession with him of sorts, but not necessarily politics?
Absolutely. Yes, my column right before the Hillary one was about growing up liberal in my father's conservative household.
Well, you know what? I'm really glad that I don't have cameras in this studio, because I violate fashion rules all the time. You thought that this coverage is you said that this it's Hillary's turn again. This has happened before?
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. When she was first lady, there were websites set up tracking the changes in her hairstyle, and she was mocked constantly in the mainstream media for trying to seduce the public with new styles every week. Again, that happened in the 2006 race for Senate, where she was mocked for possible plastic surgery by her opponent. This is nothing new for Hillary.
Yeah, you said, too, that even her the National Review criticized her for showing too much cleavage two times in the past?
Yeah, their blog is not a Hillary fan. They're not fans of Hillary over there. So, yes, they have showed stills and video of her on Senate floor showing too much cleavage. And your listeners should know, by too much cleavage, it's just a V-neck sweater. You know, there's not boobs popping out everywhere.
Yeah, she's not really flashing it. But what did you make of this rather large article in the Washington Post? Now, you wouldn't say that they're necessarily enemies of Hillary Clinton.
Not at all. I'm very surprised by it, but Robin Given, the fashion reporter who writes these articles, has done it before. She wrote about Condi. She's written about Nancy Pelosi. And this time with Hillary, it was really shocking because she attaches, every time she does this with women in fashion, she attaches emotional and psychological meaning to the clothes. So what Robin did in this article was really say that the reason this was bizarre is because Hillary doesn't know who she is, because she's looking for a persona. Now, when they talk about men's fashion in these things, and they do, they talk about John McCain's sweaters or John Edwards' hair, there is no emotional or psychological resonance that comes along. So it's not really dangerous. But when you start attaching the way people look to underlying psychological flaws, then you're really in trouble. And that's what happens to women all the time.
Yeah, you wrote that it seems trite to even write this column, but apparently it's necessary. Why do you say that?
Well, Yeah. This has been going on forever. I mean, you know, it wasn't, this is, I suppose, early in the women in fashion and politics debate in terms of the long-term issues. It wasn't until the early 90s that women could even wear pants on the Senate floor. But, you know, it's been 15 years since then, and let's get over it, people. I mean, let's understand there's a woman making a serious bid for president, and we cannot keep using these cracks in women's armor, so to speak, to debase them and have people take them less seriously.
We're talking with Alex Leo. She's associate editor of 23/6, a news and humor venture by Arianna Huffington and Barry Diller, columnist for the Huffington Post, and her most recent column, Hillary and the Fashion Police, commenting on all of the coverage of Hillary Clinton's display of cleavage on C-SPAN last week. She was wearing an outfit that had a V-neck top, and there was a little hint of cleavage showing, and it resulted in a huge article in the Washington Post and all sorts of commentary since then. We wonder what you think of this, what questions you have, and whether or not you agree or not with our guest who says that every woman who makes a bid for power in this society comes against the fashion police, and it's Hillary's turn again. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.
Hi, I'm Kathleen Dunn with the latest in news and politics, world affairs, and national issues, probing the worlds of science, medicine, health, and space, highlighting the humanities, music, art, and literature, keeping you informed, inquisitive, and engaged. From 9 to 11 weekdays on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. 17 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Wednesday, July the 25th. Stay tuned and join in with Ben Marins this afternoon for At Issue with Ben Marins. After 5, Ben and his guest will discuss education and race, how concepts of race, intelligence, and testing affect student performance. That's coming up after 5 o'clock this afternoon. We're talking about the scrutiny over Hillary Clinton's choice of clothing recently and the big article about Hillary Clinton revealing her cleavage in a recent outfit and when she was giving a speech on the Senate floor. Are we acting like fashion police for women, and do we give men a free pass? Is this kind of news coverage interesting to you? Do you think it's legitimate to hear about Hillary Clinton wearing a low neck top or not? And are we unfair against women like Hillary Clinton or Nancy Pelosi, for that matter, or Katie Couric? And we don't give the same kind of scrutiny to men. 1-800-642-1234. We have an open line for you. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. 263-1890. Or are you mad at us because we're even talking about this? But a lot of people are talking about this, Alex Leo. Why do you think it's caught so much attention?
Oh, well, if you can intersect power and sex in the media, you're set, you know, especially with a woman that's been desexualized over the years like Hillary. I think that's really the core of it, that women walk this intense catch-22 line of if you're more focused on politics than appearance, then it comes off as vanity, and if you're not focused on appearance and there's cracks in the facade, then you're seen as incompetent or unable to lead. And I think that people are fascinated by psychology of their leaders, but unfortunately people have used fashion as a way into the female mind in the political spectrum, and that's just unacceptable.
Yeah, there were people who were saying, well, Hillary's doing this because there has been criticism that maybe she's not feminine enough, so therefore she has to show that she's feminine.
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting point, and I think that's a women in the public sphere in general, that often women in power are desexualized or hypersexualized because the intersection of sex and power is so dangerous for many people in terms of women. And, you know, Hillary has certainly been shown as manly over the years in the media. She's been portrayed as having masculine attributes. But, I certainly don't think that her wearing a low-cut sweater or peach at the debate the other day warrants this kind of scrutiny. If anything, they're making matters worse, you know.
There is some interest in the public on something like this, as opposed to what Senator Clinton was talking about on the Senate floor, the cost of higher education.
Right. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think that's another thing is when we live in a news culture like this with a 24-hour news cycle, people don't watch C-SPAN as much as they do Fox News at any given 10 minutes. And I think people are always looking for sensationalist headlines. And there was a giant zoom in on her cleavage and with the title Hillary's breasts, all splashed all over the television. So I think it's a juicy story in terms of public reaction. I also think that there's also a need for the humanizing of our political leaders, and I'm all for that. I just don't think it should be done in a way that sets us back in terms of feminism.
I like the headlines that you would never see, according to your column. Harry Reid unbuttons top button, feels secure with self. Dennis Hastert's inseams belie feelings of inadequacy. We don't see headlines like that.
Not at all. And it's not that we don't see headlines about men and what they on the political trail and what they wear. It just doesn't, again, it doesn't have that kind of attachment to their persona that is so dangerous, because when you start attaching emotions and psychological resonance, as everyone did with Katie Couric when she was switching outfits every night on the news, or with Hillary Clinton, then you get into this kind of women are emotional, all the stereotypes that come up about women in power. Women are emotional, women are volatile, and that is really dangerous.
Yeah. Well, we have a caller who wants to join in. John in Madison, hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, well, obviously this plays into the old stereotype of the seductive Jezebel, and I'm sure the right wing would like to make the whole issue. Are we going to accept, one of these weak, seductive, posturing women? So, from a strategic standpoint, from the right wing, it makes a lot of sense to play into stuff like this. But the other side of this, which I really don't like, is that the press wants to hit on superficialities like this, or a $400 haircut by Edwards, or Bandy Rooster macho strutting by George Bush, or a cod piece that he wore on his flight under his flight suit on Lincoln when he declared the war was lost. This is the kind of crap that the public is served up in massive quantities. Now, do we really go into what really are the differences between the candidates in terms of their policies? Have they shown consistency in adhering to their policies that they've stated publicly in the past? How much, that's what we want to, what we need to hear. Are they going to be honest? Not how much money are they raising or these superficial characteristics. There's the other side of this, though, that Hillary's got a serious problem in that she's got to have a consistent issue, and she has to take into account the fact the general public is stereotypically a large part of them, 30 to 40%, are against a major leader being a female. So she's got a strategic agenda that she has to adhere to if she's going to get this presidency. But on the other, the main point I wanted to make was I find that the mainstream media really doesn't want to deal with this. They like money because that's where they're getting paid.
Mm-hmm. Alex Leo?
Well, John, I think that's an excellent point. I think the issue about press and superficial coverage is you've hit on something very important there. The newspapers are screaming because of their lack of readership these days, because a new generation isn't picking up the paper the way they used to. Well, guess what? If you're going to scream about editorial standards waning, then you better look at yourself first. Because if we can't stomach them and we put down that paper, then you're the ones in trouble. And the newspapers are the one feeding the headlines. Fox doesn't do as much original reporting, certainly, as the New York Times or the Washington Post. And once it's in the air, its blood is in the water. And I really think we have editorial standards that are much lower than they used to be. And you're absolutely right.
Yeah. Alex Leo, though, are you, Is readership going to wane if there's a story like this on the front page, or the story on the, you know, the higher cost of education?
Well, I mean, I think that's sensationalist news in different forms works in different ways. I mean, in Fox News, it's certainly not going to hurt their viewership to have something like that. In terms of newspapers, I think you're in danger of the degradation of the core readership. Which are the ones that are going to sustain you by having all this crap all around. And it's not going to bring kids in. I mean, you know, kids have an amazingly high BS reader, and, you know, I don't think they care. This is an amazingly optimistic generation coming up, and I don't think they want to play these games.
Yeah. John brought up the $400 haircut, you know, as another example of superficiality, but is that different than Hillary? Yeah, why?
Absolutely. I mean, that story wasn't really about his hair or his looks. It was about the fact that he mentions his daddy was a mill worker every time he opens his mouth and, you know, plays the kind of, I pulled myself up from my bootstraps, I come from poor background. And to have someone spend $400 on a haircut and take private jets everywhere, you know, belies his intentions for his own life. And I think that was the real issue, that it's about the economic gap that he keeps wanting to close and him playing on the higher end of it rather than his looks.
I didn't know that President Bush had a codpiece.
I did not know that either.
have to investigate that. We saw an article too while we're looking around on this cleavage coverage that was pointing out Barack Obama's gray hairs. So,
yes, and again, I mean, this coverage does come from men. It just doesn't have the same kind of underlying psychological issues attached. But if anything, with Barack Obama's graying hair, that will serve him well. I mean, it's about him getting older. He's more of a statesman. It's more a distinguished gentleman with his gray hair, as opposed to if you're pointing out a woman having gray hair, that's certainly a time to step aside column you're writing. Mm-hmm. I think that plays well for Obama.
Yeah. Well, do you think that, Alex Liu, that this is this kind of coverage hurts Hillary Clinton in the long run? This specific article on her, you know, her outfit on this day?
I think it really does. I mean, I think that, if you watch the YouTube debate the other day, there was a question, you know, can women be taken seriously in the Arab world? Should we elect a female president as a result? And, you know, first of all, I find that an incredibly offensive question. Margaret Thatcher and Angela Merkel have been leaders of their nation and have been incredibly successful at what they wanted to do. But beyond that, I think every time we have an article like this, we say to the public, it's okay to have the attitudes, these sexist attitudes that we have towards, you know, everyday people and attach them to our female leaders. You know, and we only have 16 women in the Senate and 70 in the House. There aren't that many to choose from, and they're all under intense scrutiny.
Let me get one more caller in before we check news. Virginia in Janesville. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. First, I want to say that this coverage, we're going to hear how if it wasn't that way, we'd all be wearing uniforms. But what I object to is they blurred in the picture accompanying the Post article, they blurred the area in between her breasts as if it were something indecent.
Did they really?
As if it were some porn picture. And I think they did that deliberately to make us feel Hillary Clinton did something bad.
It was a little hazy on the C-SPAN image that I saw, but I don't know if it was deliberately blurred. Alex Leah, we have a news break.
Sure.
I'll have you look that up
okay.
During the news break, and then we'll talk after we check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio. We're talking about the coverage of Hillary Clinton's cleavage. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 6:36 on this Wednesday, July the 25th. We're talking with Alex Leo. She's a columnist for the Huffington Post, whose most recent column, Hillary and the Fashion Police, takes coverage of Hillary Clinton's fashion choices of late to task. She can't believe that Hillary Clinton's cleavage is getting headlines again. And she wonders why we act like fashion police for women and generally give men a pass. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. We are discussing why Hillary Clinton's choice of a top is making front page news. You probably heard about it. She was on the Senate floor last Wednesday, and a lot of people saw her on C-SPAN, C-SPAN 2, and she had a V-neck top on, which showed a little bit of cleavage. And there was a big front page article, a big article in the Washington Post talking about Hillary Clinton's choice of clothing on this day and assigning some sort of motives to it. And we welcome your thoughts and questions as to whether this is a legitimate news story, whether you indeed are like our guest and think women are scrutinized unfairly in this arena. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Alex Leo, Virginia in Janesville was with us just before news time. And I guess one of her points was that she actually thought the Washington Post blurred the, or maybe it was C-SPAN that blurred the actual cleavage. Did you notice that?
Not at all. I mean, I don't have a recollection of that. You know, I think that it was a shadowy image, the one they printed with her hand that kind of masked her cleavage a little bit. But I don't think that's the issue. I think the issue is when they print these stories, it's the words they use to describe them that's really the kicker. You know, it's in New York Times did a piece about Hillary, about all the candidates' fashion, but only she got the unsteady self-image tag, you know. Again, and Robin attaches words to her like non-committal and, you know, things like that.
Ah, yeah. In fact, it says here that as she has embarked on her campaign for president, she has given up the uniform of a black pantsuit. In its place has been a wide array of suits and jackets in everything from dull khaki to canary yellow and soft florals. Once again, she's playing the fashion field.
Yes, exactly. I mean, it's just that kind of, you know, the same thing happened to Condoleezza when she wore that kind of black army top and black boots. She was portrayed as a dominatrix in the media, and they started attaching words of power to her. You know, for every time women put on an outfit, it's not just the outfit that gets criticized, but it's the underlying persona that people take issue with. And I think, you know, that's kind of insane.
Yeah. Now back to the phones we go. Leon in Milwaukee is with us. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. This coverage of Hillary's uncoverage, I think, would be kind of silly, except for the fact that I've read some and studied some cultural anthropology. And it seems like in the bigger context of cultures all over, one of the ways that masculinity is defined opposed to femininity, to be masculine is to be powerful, to be feminine is to be vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this may play out into this whole business of how we are still, even 60 years after modern feminism, or 40 years, however many years it is, the idea of women in power is still something that's uncomfortable to a lot of people in this culture.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if that might be a... I could wish that at some point you'd have some cultural anthropologists on the air to talk about phenomena like this and set it into a somewhat larger context. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, thanks for calling. Alex Leo, any
thoughts? Yeah, I think that's the absolute point that we're getting to here is that, you know, I'm no cultural anthropologist, but, you know, women in power are threatening in some way, and I don't know if it's a conscious or unconscious level that these writers attack her psychology and character with the fashion, but that is absolutely right. There is some kind of tentative attack going on here.
Yeah. Now, Nancy Pelosi, when she became the Speaker of the House, she had a lot of coverage on what she was wearing all over. But it seemed to me, my memory serves me correctly, it was favorable coverage to some extent that, you know, that she really... You know, that she made great choices of clothing or something. But I don't know. What did you make of the coverage of Nancy Pelosi's clothes?
Yeah, there was a lot on Nancy. And it was all kind of, they were all looking for chinks in the armor, but they couldn't find any. She kind of has the impeccable clothes down pat, and she knows what line to walk. That very thin line where she's not going to get any criticism, and simultaneously not to look too vain. You know, the other great instances of women being attacked in the media for their looks aren't her, but they're Katie Couric and Catherine Harris. You know.
Yeah, Katie Couric, I remember, was every outfit she chose was, oh, she looked fat in that, or she's showing off her legs on the news.
Exactly, exactly. Mm. And New York Magazine had this kind of running look at what she was wearing every day, and they put all the pictures side by side to say that she was shape-shifting, trying to seduce her audience with different outfits, different looks. And, you know, of course, when you're in the public eye, when you're on TV, you have to be conscious of what you're wearing. But Charles Gibson doesn't get this kind of scrutiny. Brian Williams certainly doesn't. She was criticized for wearing white after Labor Day. I mean, come on. There's a lot more rules for women than there are for men.
And Catherine Harris was mainly because she wore a lot of makeup or something, right?
Yeah. She wore some blue eyeshadow, I believe, during the 2000 election. And, you know, I mean, I'm not a huge fan of Catherine Harris, but, you know, Gore Aid called her Cruella de Vil. Conservative pundit Laura Ingraham said that she looked like she belonged in a funeral parlor. She got made fun of on every late-night show. And Robin Given, again, from the Washington Post, wrote an article bashing her about it. Yeah.
And back to Nancy Pelosi, while, you know, there was so much attention to her clothing, you maybe once in a great while might have read that Dennis Hastert was kind of rumpled looking, but there was really not any, you know, no one's talking about what he's wearing.
Absolutely. Mm. And when they say things like Dennis Hastert is rumpled looking, again, that fits into this kind of like hardworking, you know, male image of he doesn't have time to go home and change when we know Congress is on vacation more than any of us. But all of the criticisms kind of fit into the male persona of what they're trying to portray. So there's no danger there.
Yeah. Megan in McGuanago is with us now. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I just think it's really kind of shameful that Hillary Clinton's one of the greatest political minds that our country has to offer. And as a nation, we're talking about her breath. So I'll take my comments off the air. Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Megan, I think you're absolutely right. It is a shame that the level of political discourse is this low at this point. You know, we have some serious problems in America, and I think that the media has been shameful in the way they've let these kind of minimal stories overtake the major issues.
Mm-hmm. Next is Paul in La Crosse. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I don't think this is a bad thing at all. I think this is like someone, if a political, someone you know, running for office was used the word Negro all the time, you'd be going, oh, what an idiot. I think that when Edwards commented on the color of her suit during the debate,
yeah,
as soon as it was over, I think Elizabeth just cut him a new one. because she said, how can you, because every woman who's a professional, a lawyer, a doctor, a business owner, anyone like that has been demeaned the same way. And when Elizabeth says that her husband represents, you know, understands women's problems and fights for them better, women's rights better than Hillary does, every woman who has heard that and probably might have believed it dismissed it immediately as soon as he made that comment about the color of her suit. I don't think you can do this anymore. I think we've gone past this. When Congresswoman Schroeder went to Harvard Law School, there was a book written called From Pearls to Pinstripes. And it covered a lot of these same things about the way women are treated professionally, and you can't be so dismissive of women like Hillary Clinton or Ruth Ginsburg on the Supreme Court or Sandra Day O'Connor or anyone else like this. When you reach a certain level, you're there because of your talent and your ability, and probably because you had to be so much better than everybody else.
Yeah.
So I think let them go ahead and do this. It reflects badly on them. It just the demographic she does worse with is her own, women her age with her kind of accomplishments. When these women hear things like this, they go, ah, they're still doing it.
All right. Well, thanks. Thanks very much, Paul, for the call. We'll get Alex Leo to respond to your comments after we check the weather. Alex Leo, a columnist for The Huffington Post, her most recent column, Hillary and the Fashion Police, commenting on all the coverage over Hillary Clinton's choice of neckline the other day. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 12 minutes before 7 o'clock, and after 7, we'll talk with a guest who says your health is at greater risk if you're unable to understand your doctor's orders. And a new study shows that that's a problem. Talk about health literacy after 7 o'clock. Right now, we're talking about the scrutiny of women's apparel and fashion and why it is there has been so much coverage of Hillary Clinton's cleavage. Big Washington Post article talked about her flashing a little cleavage, displaying cleavage when she was speaking on the Senate floor last week. It was on C-SPAN 2, and now there's lots of commentary over everything from why did she choose that top, and was it appropriate, and what does it say about her her emotions and her psychology. Anyway, we're talking with Alex Leo. She is a columnist for the Huffington Post. Alex Leo criticizing all this scrutiny, wondering why we act like the fashion police for powerful women like Hillary Clinton, and we don't do the same thing for men in power. Alex Leo, we heard from Paul in La Crosse before the weather break, who said, you know, hey, you know, this will only help Hillary because people, women especially, will roll their eyes at this kind of coverage and understand, you know, and vote for Hillary.
Yeah, I mean, I think he had a couple of interesting points. When he said that Edwards mentioned this her suit at the debate, I think, yes, women are more apt to think that that was an idiotic move, especially when it comes from a man, the criticism. But my concern is the women-on-women criticism that is, I think, slightly more dangerous. And when you have all these female writers jumping on the bandwagon, that has the power to influence women in a very different way. So I don't know that it's that the backlash will totally help her. But he also brought up Pat Schroeder, which I thought was interesting because she's another woman that gets a lot of criticism. And I remember when she cried one day in session, and you know, she had mascara running down her face, and again, that was the kind of makeup criticism. The women are weak. The women, you know, women show emotion. So that was another interesting point he made there.
Yeah, men can't cry though either.
I think if they shed a very, you know, when men are affected by something, it can show their humanity. If they cry very, you know, there was a famous quote once, and I wish I remember who said it, that men can't get elected without crying, and women can't get elected if they do.
Yeah, I guess you're right that, you know, the choking up over whatever, war debt or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
I just was thinking of it. Was it Udall, whose campaign way back when was trashed when he
there are limits.
Yeah. Right. Omar in Madison. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Joy. Thank you for having me on. I just wanted to comment that I believe what leads to this being done to women that are in power and positions of status, instead of them being looked at for their mind, being looked at for looks or for what they're wearing, is because our society, that's really what ends up being promoted about women in media, the big marketing machine, and how things are sold. On TV and when it comes even in a sports game, I can't watch a basketball game without women that are almost not dressed at all being part of the game as cheerleaders, and I don't even understand what that has to do. How does that promote women being equal to men in terms of their mind, in terms of their spirit, and I believe that that's a lot of what leads to then the media looking at these things in women like Hillary Clinton, who has a lot to contribute to society, and we're demeaning what that could mean to society and what that can mean to the world by looking at the looks.
Mm-hmm. Any thoughts on that, Alex?
Yeah, I think Omar's exactly right. I think that when, you know, pop culture bleeds into our political sphere, which it always does, you have these women wearing less and less clothes, you know, those booty shorts are back in style. Women are constantly more and more naked in the media, if you look at Paris Hilton and Britney and Lindsay Lohan. And, you know, if the media gets trained and the public gets trained to view women like that in the pop sphere, then that lens can also be applied to the political.
Yeah. Thanks, Omar, for the call. Next, we go to Jim in Marinette. Hi, Jim. You're on the air.
I think this is just a method to diffuse when the real election comes up, the sexuality of Hillary, and so that you as a backer and the lady that's your guest as a backer can say, well, we've already discussed that. And which is fine with me, but I just let's recognize it for what it's worth.
What are we recognizing it?
Yeah. You're recognizing what I'm saying is that you're bringing, you know, the feminist movement, which is fine, is bringing this out now so that when the real election comes up and Hillary gets nominated, and she will be, we don't have to. You as a feminist and everybody else as a feminist doesn't have to address that situation because you can say now, hey, we've addressed that already.
Oh, Jim, I wish that were true, but we've addressed this many, 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 many times before with Hillary, and it just keeps popping up.
Yeah, I actually thought Jim thought he didn't say so, but that he thought it was Hillary's
camp bringing it up.
Yeah, that she did make a calculated decision to wear this too, though that would hint.
Yeah, I mean, I think that she's under pressure, kind of too. I mean, her clothes have certainly changed. You know, I think that. She was masculinized in the press, and I don't know what the inner workings of her campaign are saying to her, but, you know, I would agree that I think that she shouldn't listen to the coverage about her clothes and just, you know.
Yeah. You know, there was another, it's not exactly the same kind of situation, but recently when Senator Vitter had a news conference to talk about the allegations that he was seeing call girls. And his wife appeared at this news conference with him to
leopard print dress.
Yes, there was a bunch of coverage on what was she wearing, and did you notice her? Yeah, her animal print dress. What do you make of that?
Was kind of weird. I mean, first of all, you know, women that are in the public eye because they're a wife, like a wife of a senator or, you know, someone that doesn't seek their own power, I forgive the media for questioning their choices a little bit more, especially when your husband has been charged with prostitution and you're wearing a low-cut leopard print dress. I thought that was a little weird.
Next, we go to Rusty in Columbus. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. Yeah, I will agree that women seem to be scrutinized more these days. But does anybody remember back when Jimmy Carter did one of his fireside chats and he was wearing a sweater, and everybody was scandalized because it was just not done. Presidents and people in power are supposed to wear suits. And yeah. This was just beyond the pale for some people. They were just appalled. And so I think it works for men, too. Not quite as much. Men are supposed to wear suits, period. That's it. And they, for the most part, that's all they do. But women, they have more choices in clothes, and so such things get scrutinized.
He's got a point, doesn't he, Alex?
I think that there is something to be said, Rusty, for what you're saying. It's just that, you know, the sweater issue is coming up again with John McCain and people calling his sweaters gay. Now, that's offensive, but it doesn't bear on whether or not he is emotionally or psychologically able to lead. And I think that's the implication for women often. So it's not the attention that's drawn to clothes, because the New York Times came up with a big piece about all the men and women on the campaign trail. It's just the underlying, you know, poking holes in whether they're able to lead and whether they're able to be effective.
Yeah. There would be probably a lot of coverage, though, if when, you know, whatever, the eighth or however many candidates are standing on stage for the Democratic presidential candidate debates. And it was pretty striking to see everybody in the same kind of gray black suit.
Mm-hmm.
And Hillary Clinton in this, coral jacket. She really did stand out. And there probably would be a lot of coverage if one of those guys would wear whatever, you know, something other than a suit.
Yeah, not if it was Dennis Kucinich, though.
That's true. Alex Leo, thanks very much for being with us. Tell us about this 23/6 News and Humor website. This is not quite off the ground yet, but we'll be...
It's not. We're launching later this year, and it's a joint venture between Barry Diller's company, IAC, and Ariana's Huffington Post, and it should be fabulous. We have great writers, great editors, and it's a very exciting venture. So yeah. Check it out.
We will, and it will be. It'll be funny.
Yes.
All right. Thanks a lot for being with us.
Oh, thank you so much, Joy.
Alex Leo, associate editor of 23/6, a news and humor venture by Ariana Huffington and Barry Diller. It will be launching later this year. She is a columnist for the Huffington Post, and her most recent column was Hillary and the Fashion Police. And we thank her very much for being with us. And we thank you for listening along and for joining in. I hope you stay tuned. There is much more to come. And I hope that if you would like to order a CD copy of this or any of our talk shows, you will call the radio store, 1-800-747-7444, 1-800-747-7444. You can also check out any of our talk shows through our through your computer. We archive them all on our website, and our website is wpr.org, wpr.org. Since I have a couple of minutes, let me remind you that we always welcome your suggestions for programs or your feedback on this program. You can email me personally. My email is Cardine, C-A-R-D-I-N, at wpr.org. Our address is 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53706. And again, lots of ways to contact us through our website as well, wpr.org. Thanks to Karen Prager for producing this hour and to Christina Taylor for on-air production. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network.